I'll read for us Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 to 13. When he, that is the Lord Jesus, had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, See that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Verse 5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, Go, and he goes, and to another, Come, and he comes, and to my servant, Do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. So the topic for today is that we have read in this passage, you will see as we draw it out, is the Savior of Jews and Gentiles. The Savior of both Jews and Gentiles. Now the Gospel of Matthew has often been addressed mainly to the Jews. We see the plenteous of quotations given in the early part of the chapter. You see in chapter 2 verse 6 concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus prophesied in Bethlehem. You see in verse 18 of the prophecy that King Herod shall destroy the young children from age 2 down in his fear of the king of Israel. So all children of that age of 2 years old below were put to death. And such crying all over that region. So that was another prophecy fulfilled. And in chapter 3, verse 3, we see the coming of the messenger, which is John the Baptist, making the way straight, preparing the way for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it was intended to convince Jewish readers that all that was prophesied about the Lord Jesus would come to pass. It is intended for us too, who are beginning to know the scriptures, but the Jews knew the Old Testament very well. It was part of their life. But for us, it's intended also to show us that hundreds of years ago, all this that has come to pass has been fulfilled, showing that we have a true and living God who is faithful to his word. Then we come to the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5 to chapter 7, and the Lord is addressing the people who are gathered from different regions, from across the Jordan, from Judea, from Jerusalem, all Jews came to hear him. And they were so amazed, as you see in Matthew chapter 7, verse 28. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings on a Sermon on the Mount, that the people were astonished at his teaching. Verse 29, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. People were so used to the scribes, quoting from people who were older. And this rabbi, according to him, said this. But the Lord Jesus never had to refer to anyone. His authority was from the Father in heaven, and he spoke as one whom the word had come forth from. He is the word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the personification of the word, the eternal word of God. Let us be careful to hear him. But here we want to discover in this passage that though Jews were often referred to But you see a great glimpse, as if with a window open, you can see that the Lord is Savior, not just of the Jews, but of the Gentiles as well. As we see the conversion of the centurion, that great army captain, a commander who had 100 soldiers under him, we shall see in a short while. And this passage, we want to see two healings, one of a Jew and another of a Gentile, a servant belonging to this centurion. In both of these instances, we see faith is drawn out. Faith, not something from them, but something that they could look at, and that person was the Lord Jesus. You see, there was no merit in their faith. Faith was just casting themselves upon the Savior who was before them. And faith is a gift, the Bible says. So there was nothing, no merit in even this faith of these two. And we see that in faith, they responded to the Lord Jesus. And faith was required for further display of the Lord revealing himself to them and in answer to their request. We want to finally see the lesson that worship that is acceptable to God can only come by faith in Christ alone. So let us look at this passage in these two incidences of the healing of the leper from verse 1 to 4 and then healing of the Gentile verse 5 to 13. And you see the benefits wasn't just only to the servant who was healed. It was more of the centurion. Now let's look at the leper now. Look at the leper. And when Jesus came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him. We can see that the leper was a Jew. In verse 4, we see when he was healed, what happened to him? The Lord commanded him that he should go to see the priest and offer the gift that Moses had commanded as a testimony of what had happened to him, that he was completely healed, and of something else. Now, you look at this poor leper. Have you ever seen before? You may have seen pictures. You may have gone to Sungai Buloh to buy plants. You may have seen some of those who probably getting quite old who had leprosy. You can see no ear or bits of their nose not around. They're not a very pleasant sight. And the typical human will keep their distance from them. For what reason? For fear of getting caught the leprosy, and of two, of being shameful to be near someone like a leper. So you see, the burden upon a leper was not only physically what he suffered, but also the torment of those who not only ignored him, but even despised him. There was this pain of leprosy, but there was something even more troubling him. He had what it was called spiritual uncleanness. He couldn't worship God. He couldn't come near. What he had was a picture of a spiritual uncleanness, that before God, he couldn't approach God. Leprosy in those days was incurable. He was just wasting away. People avoided him. He had to live in the community. I don't know whether you have watched the movie. It's called Ben-Hur. And there were Christians who lived in the catacomb. And those who had leprosy, being the mother of Ben-Hur, they had to hide themselves. They were so ashamed even to come to see the son, or rather they didn't want him to see that state, their ugliness. So you see there's a stigma involved in being a leper. They were incurable. And if you put yourself in that shoe, And later on, when the Lord touched him, you see something else. He was spiritually unclean. He couldn't join the worship along with his people. He was kept outside the camp. He was avoided. He was despised. He had to eat among the company of only lepers. So there was pain, there was loneliness. And he was helpless. He couldn't heal himself. He couldn't change his situation. He couldn't go and worship along with other Jews. He was forbidden. He was helpless. He was frustrated. He couldn't mix. What sort of friends do you think he had? Even his family would have to be kept away from him. But you see, he had heard of a savior. He had heard of someone who spoke words of authority. He could hear people at a distance murmuring. He could hear people talking about, hey, you know, we've heard this. He seems to speak with authority, not like all the other scribes and leaders and Jews. And he had this thing that he wanted. He wanted to meet this person. So he came to Lord Jesus. And he had to overcome a lot of obstacles just to come to the Lord Jesus. You can imagine the people, that's one. Go away. And two, he had to keep a distance. He had to shout. He says here, he shouted. Is it? He came and he continued. He had to call upon the Lord. And there was a stigma with him that he had to overcome. He had to overcome his own fears and expectation of society for him to come near to the Savior. So that was a lot of hurdles for him. But there's one thing about him. He came with boldness. There was something in him that he saw in the Lord Jesus that he knew the Lord Jesus was different. Despite the many amount of people, he was determined. And it's a wonderful thing to have determination, especially when you have something that is right and good and true to do. And in this case, it was right and good and true, coming to the Savior. If ever you have any problem or any doubt about, come to the Savior with determination, and he will give you an answer. And of course, not verbally, but in his word. But you must come. And this man did. Having heard of Christ from the murmur of people and the discussions of people he overheard, he must meet him. And what did he do? He came and worshipped him. He couldn't go to the temple to worship. He was forbidden. And look, he came and worshipped him at his feet. You see, this is the worshippers that God wants. Who worship him in spirit and in truth. No pretense. No ceremony. Just come on your knees. This is the worshipper that God wants. And he did that. He came and worshipped the Lord. And look at his at his request of faith. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He has no doubt of the power of the Lord Jesus. He only appeals to his willingness. What faith? What faith? This faith, God-given faith, already working in him, whereby he would know that the Lord is able to heal him. Whereas nothing has ever happened, no doctors, no medicine, no kindness of society has helped him. The Savior is able to, if only he is willing. If only he is willing. He has this trust in the Savior. For he's beginning to realize that this man of authority, who speaks with authority, is more than a scribe. He comes from God. So here he calls upon the Savior, if you are willing, and look upon the Lord Jesus' response. When Jesus speaks, it happens. You speak, nothing happens. You're a person of authority, you speak, also nothing happens. Because your subjects may not be willing. Those who are under you want to do their own thing. But the Lord Jesus speaks, it happens. Look, I am willing. And look what he did. Look what the Lord Jesus did. Not only the healing happened when he touched him, but he touched him. Who wanted to touch a leper? No one. The Lord Jesus touched him. See how compassionate the Lord is. For he came to save that which was lost. And now, this man who has worshipped the Lord Jesus by bowing down to him, now he's made clean. His leprosy has somehow disappeared. Oh, how mighty is this Son of God, who is the creator of heaven and earth, who made this person well again physically. But what was more important, he made him clean spiritually. That this person now can go and worship God, because what the Lord Jesus had done was to show that his sins would be removed. And if you have sins remaining, you cannot worship God. Your sins need to be cleansed. And the only way of cleansing is to bow before the Lord Jesus and to say, Lord Jesus, if you are willing, you can forgive me. If you do not come to the Lord Jesus like that, if you come to the Lord Jesus and say, you help me, you make me better, I've got this thing here, you know. If you talk like that, see, you haven't understood whom you are dealing with. So come before the Lord Jesus on your knees and ask him. Believe that he is the Son of God. Believe that he has the power to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all iniquity that is hidden inside you. He can worship God again now. Because what did the Lord Jesus say? You go. Go to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them that God has done this to you, and you will be restored, and you will worship among the company of his people. If we are not cleansed of our sin, we cannot join the company of God's people to worship him together. God will not accept an unclean creature that he has made. Because if you are unclean in your heart, full of sin, and still not come to the Lord Jesus as he is on your knees, he will not accept you. Because you have rejected the way of God. You have rejected the way of salvation. You have rejected the Lord Jesus dying on the cross of Calvary, needful for you to approach God. And he's told not to tell anyone. He said, hey, he's done such a wonderful thing to you. Why not go and tell the world? Oh, it's a wonderful thing. Tell the world so that the world will believe that this is the Lord Jesus who has done this. But the Lord Jesus said, you tell no one. Tell no one. The healing was to show who Christ is, firstly to him and to the company of God's people, that God has done this first. Because often than not, people may wonder at miracles, but their hearts are never changed. For only a brief moment, they are excited. You see crowds all joining upon a magic show or upon some snake demonstration. People are very excited about the wonders people can do, but after that, they disperse. It's just a show to them. They still remain the same. And in this way, the Lord Jesus said, tell no one. The healing was to show who Christ was, that he's full of power, and shown specifically to this leper, so that this leper may know that it is the Lord God, the Son of God, who has done this mighty thing to him, and that he would be restored to worship God. And the danger of focusing only on the healing is to miss the point of the Savior, the sign. All these healings were a sign to the Savior that he is truly the Son of God and he has come. Look to him. But people are so amazed by all the wonder of healing that they soon forget the one who has the power to heal. And they are so amazed at the physical healing because that's what they want. They want to live long. They want to live healthily and happily in their own private state, but never want to live happily in the peace that comes through faith in the Lord Jesus on the cross of Calvary. They don't want this option. So we're back to square one. Is it you want wonders and miracles to show, wow, you know, this is the Jesus of the Bible. Wow, he's so powerful. He's so this and that. But you do not bow the knee to Christ. Hey, that is not what the Lord wants. No one but Jesus alone can heal because he is truly the Son of God. But not only heal, the physical sign of healing was to point that we have an internal spiritual leprosy in us, which is sin. It affects us. It mars our character. It destroys us inside. Our relationships with people are bad, and we hurt people, and we do make things. So the physical leprosy you can see, and inwardly that spiritual leprosy works out in a spiritual way with people outwardly, because all the sins issue from the heart. The Lord Jesus came to deal with that, to make us acceptable to God. So the sign of healing this leper was to show that this physical leprosy of this man pointed to a deeper need of him, which was a spiritual leprosy, that was sin that needed cleansing, needed God to forgive and change, only through the Christ. What a wonderful thing. Just alone, this story, this incident of the leper, we have drawn so much of the Lord Jesus, so different from the world that disdains, despises that which is sickly, lowly, full of disease, and full, where no man will want to venture to help. They're kept in a special area so that they don't affect others. And yet, the Savior touched him. Hey, the word, the just alone touching him speaks wonders, isn't it? You say you're a believer. Have you ever touched people that you despised before? People you avoided before? People you thought you were better than them before? People you thought they're lowly, uneducated? When was the last time you touched a beggar? It speaks to us. Because touching is just one thing. But what is here is showing. Okay. Now let us come to this section. The healing of a Gentile. Look at this centurion. He's different from the leper. He has authority over 100 men. That's what a centurion means. Oh. But look at his, look at, he's not coming to the Lord Jesus to say, I'm sure you're free, please come to my house, my servant is not well. In a way that he would tell his soldiers, go and they will go, come and they will come. He says later on, he's a great commander. But you don't find any of this when he comes to the Lord. He's like coming on his knees. He feels himself not worthy. He says, when the Lord Jesus says, I will come and heal him. You're wondering, but other times the Lord Jesus says, go, your servant is healed. He doesn't say, oh, let me go and heal him. The word of the Lord is enough to heal. But in this case, he says, I will come and heal him. And look at the centurion. Oh, how he loved his servant. Although he was a man of authority, but look how he cared for his servant. He didn't say, I'll get another one. Oh, I have many. Send him to an old folks home or send him to the hospital. No. He had a concern. You see, his character, you see more of his character. Although he was not saved yet, but he had a certain character about him. And when he comes, when the Lord Jesus says, I will come and heal him, the Lord Jesus is, as it were, preempting, as it were, drawing him to say the very next thing that he says. Lord, I'm not worthy. He finds himself not worthy because first he's not a Jew. And Jews don't eat with Gentiles. It's unclean. But he had a concern. So he pleaded with the Lord to heal his servant. His servant was someone not able to be cured. He says he was paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. I don't know whether you've been to, if you've been to some children's homes where parents don't want them because they're like that, you know, and they're like that. And they can't move their finger, and they can't move their hand. And when you're at the gate and you're in the hospital and you look at them, you shy away. He was paralyzed. You know, he was like that. You know, he would move his hand like that. The centurion was so burdened for him. That he had to find the Lord Jesus. And look, the Lord Jesus said, I will come. I am willing. I will come. I will come. When I come, I won't just come to see him. I will come and heal him. Because that is what you want. And the Lord Jesus is full of compassion. He's so full of compassion that if you look at any part of him, you see the letter C. He's so full of compassion that it exudes from him. And we come to see the faith of this centurion. He, being aware of the Lord Jesus from possibly previous hearings of him, has begun to put his faith upon the Lord Jesus, because he says, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. So it was not just a case of Gentile and Jew relationship, but it was a case of the fact that he began to see that this Lord Jesus is so much greater. Because he says, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. He's addressing someone who is great, not addressing someone who is a Jew. He says, only speak a word. Obviously, he has faith that this person is full of power, that this person who has been doing wonders is able to do the same. And this person is not an ordinary Jew. And he said, my servant will be healed. My servant may be healed. My servant should be healed. My servant will be healed. This is him putting his trust in the Savior, in the Lord. Jesus need only speak a word. When God spoke, the world was created. When Jesus speaks a word, a person will be healed. And when the Lord Jesus comes to this sinful world, this world that he has made, the kingdom of God is at hand. Can't you remember what the Lord Jesus said? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The Lord Jesus is here, and the kingdom begins to advance stage by stage by stage. When the kingdom advances, what would you expect? Evil spirits cast away, people healed, the dead receiving life, and so on and so forth. That is the advancement of the kingdom. But the advancement of the kingdom is in a visual way to the world who still rejects the Savior, is seen by those who has the kingdom of God in their hearts. The kingdom of God conquers their soul, conquers their hearts of rebellion. They come to trust in the Savior. They are humbled by him. They come to see him as a Savior. And for a word, the authority of Christ shows its power. It's true. His servant was healed that same hour, verse 13. The Lord is willing to go all the way. When you ask for help for the Lord, he wouldn't ask you to wait. He may ask you to wait for certain reasons, but in terms of his compassion for you, you needn't have to wait. The Lord will minister to you. Yes, the thing that you ask for may be delayed, but the comfort for your soul, the encouragement for you, is immediate when you believe his word, when you hear his word speak to you. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's always ready, always willing. You come to him as you are. Don't come to him as you think you are so great. However great you may be, like the centurion, you have to come in his terms, and you have to come as a sinner, unworthy as you are. This centurion acknowledged Christ's authority over all persons, because this centurion is a captain of all his 100 soldiers. He tells them what to do, his servants, he tells them what to do. Immediately they do. No soldier will say, just hold on, sir. Let me go and do this. Let me go and do that. I haven't finished this. I haven't finished that. He's in a dangerous position if he says that. How much more the Lord Jesus has authority over all realms of even sickness, even demons. During Jesus' time, there was a lot of demonic activity. A lot of people possessed by the evil spirits, as you read. And Jesus was so amazed. Was so amazed. You can see the Lord Jesus. So not only amazed, but so encouraged by such a response of the centurion, whereby the centurion has shown that truly he has a real faith. This faith is real. You may not be like this centurion with such authority and with such great faith upon the Lord, but the Lord wants real faith, that you hold on to the Lord, knowing that he is truly the Son of God who has authority and power. You hold on to him that he's able to forgive you of your sins, that he's able to answer your prayers. The Lord Jesus pronounced the greatness of his faith, and surely it's recorded in Scripture for all time, that when we ever meet this centurion in heaven, are you that centurion that was recorded? We want to praise God. And the Lord Jesus, when he says, "And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Oh, the Lord Jesus is foretelling a time that will come where the gospel will be spread. The Holy Spirit comes upon the early church, and the early church will go out from Jerusalem, from Judea, and from all the ends of the world. And we are here now. The gospel is here now. We are evidence of these from the east and the west. Whether you're Jew or Gentile, we're evidence that the gospel has come here, and we long to be in the company of the saints, believers of old, gathered in heaven. The east and the west will come down and sit with Abraham, Isaac. This is a prophecy of the immediate future, that Gentiles and Jews will be saved. And this centurion is now treated as a child of God, because he will sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. "I have not found such great faith, even in Israel," Jesus said. Great faith of what? Of the centurion. The centurion has demonstrated a faith, trusting in not his great faith, but trusting in the great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is numbered among those in the great multitude in heaven who will come and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarchs of old who demonstrated faith, who had to learn the hard way even of faith. We do not think that somehow these are so special, the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Look at the life of Jacob. When you first met Jacob, conniving and plotting against his brother, I don't think you will like his character. But he's transformed. And God is able to transform us. What becomes of unbelieving Jews? It says in verse 12, "But the sons of the kingdom," Jews by birth, "will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The gospel came to the Jews first. The Lord Jesus appeared to the Jews first. He spoke in the Sermon on the Mount to the Jews first. But end of the day, what is the end result? You want to see what is the end result? Are you trusting in Christ? Are you following him? No. They wanted to crucify him. Crucify him. They will be cast into outer darkness. But maybe out of the company of the Jews who crucified the Lord Jesus on the day of Pentecost, when the gospel was preached, when the Holy Spirit was sent, when their hearts were convicted, many would have repented. A few thousand of them. "What shall we do?" Their hearts were quickened. Their hearts were beat. They were beating their breasts because they realized, and the Holy Spirit was convicting them, that they had done this evil against the Son of God. They're deserving of judgment of God. And where could they turn to for salvation? They appealed to the Apostle Peter, who preached, "Repent, repent, and be baptized. Show that you now follow Christ by being baptized. For baptism does not save, as many think. Baptism is only a symbol, a mark that you truly have been washed clean in your heart. Before you have water to wash over you, and that you are trusting in Christ alone. So this suffering that not only will be to the Jews, but to the whole world that is still against Christ this very day, still oppose the gospel, have nothing to do with it, still remain outside, and not come to the foot of the cross, and not worship the Lord Jesus, Even though you may be here present, sitting down, but you still have not submitted to Christ, you will find yourself in outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For until you bow your knee to Christ, until you come to Him and, Lord, if you are willing, cleanse me. I come as I am. I don't come with my self-righteousness. Physical descent from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is useless. What use is it? You are the highest Jew, the most educated Jew with theological study in all the rabbinic teachings. What good, what use it is if Christ is not the Lamb of God for you? If blood is not shed for you, that all those sacrifices pointed to Him, for He died once and for all. But you are not trusting in Him. You are still trusting in your own sacrifices. You are still trusting in your cleverness. I've mentioned before, until you go through that door of salvation, that narrow door, you will never enter into heaven. For that door is so narrow that your bags of righteousness, your bags of cleverness, your bags of achievements, your bags, your great big luggage that you carry around with you every day and display to your world, to the world and your friends, but you can't enter the door. The door is narrow. You can't enter the door. The door is the Lord Jesus. You want to enter. You push yourself as much as you can, but you have to throw away your bags of righteousness, your bags of cleverness, your bags of achievements, your bags of natural descent. You have to throw all this away, that you may try, you may enter this gate that is the Lord Jesus, and you still can't enter because your clothes are in the way. Your clothes have to be thrown out. But you say, if my clothes are thrown out, I'll be ashamed. You should be, because if you are not ashamed, then you have no shame. You have no shame because your sins, you should be shameful of your sins against God. And you should realize that if not the Lord Jesus wash you clean and you wear the righteousness of Christ, you cannot walk the path that God has chosen for you after the door. The door is a narrow path after the door. You shall live a life of hardship as a believer. It's not going to be a bed of roses. But you haven't even entered that door because you want to still wear your own clothes. You still want to carry your own luggage. You'll never enter in. Never. So, physical descent is one of those. Your physical descent, your self-righteousness, your achievements, your cleverness, your physical beauty, your whatever you have. Oh, Joe, you do carry a big burden upon your back, don't you? In displaying all this to people in the world. When you're thick of argument, all these things you take up to show how good you are, how clever you are, how rich you are, how whatever you are. But you can't enter the door. Enter the door. That wonderful door. But can only be entered by the Lord's terms. Naked as you are, but being clothed with Christ, when you bow and worship Him, you submit to Him, you trust Him for salvation. Only Christ the Savior, trusting in Him alone, will you ever benefit from His death. You will not benefit if you don't come to Christ as Savior, as Lord. And Christianity, at the end of the day, is no more about East and West. It's about mankind. Because when God created Adam, we are sons of Adam. But sons of Adam is no use. We may have a kinship with anyone human, but we are not God's children. God's children are those who are saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. We cannot call God Father, because you have not come to the Son. You cannot call Him Father. We do not have the Holy Spirit because we have not bowed the knee to Christ. And Christ will never give you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit would not want to dwell in you because you don't want to acknowledge Christ as the only Savior for your sins. So Christ, who died on the cross of Calvary, is where you must be. If you do not come to the foot of the cross, how can His blood wash you clean? If you don't come to the cross, the blood will never wash you clean. However much you bathe in the great river of India, you cannot wash. You may think you are washed clean, that great river everyone goes every year, but you still remain the same because you can only wash the outwardness of your body, the inwardness, your spiritual leprosy, your sin, your uncleanness can never be washed except by that blood. So value the death of Christ, and in Him, on His death on the cross. So we've come to see there's need of spiritual cleansing because we have spiritual leprosy. The leper displays that we can never worship God, we can never be adopted, we can never be owned by Him unless we come to be cleansed of that. Then look at the healing of the Gentile. The Gentile servant was healed, yes. He was healed and he could be a useful servant. But compared to the centurion, hopefully he would tell him that wonderful news of Christ and the servant may be saved as well. But look at the centurion. Look at him, numbered among the many thousands of Gentiles in heaven now, worshipping Christ. Think of him. For this centurion will be renowned. Not for being so great, as it were, but for holding to the Lord Jesus in such a strong way. And he would not let go. And that the Lord Jesus wants us to remember him for. So, look at yourselves. Examine your life. Is there something in you that you have doubt to coming to Christ? Do you doubt that he will cleanse you? That he will save you? Why? You thought to yourself, there's something very dark in my life. I've hidden to most people. Even my own family does not know. But this darkness in my heart, I don't think the Lord can help me. Ooh, such self-pity you have. Ooh, you doubt the Savior able to cleanse you from such dark history. Have you had something in your life that you have done, hidden to the world, but you find so shameful about? Surely one day the Lord will show it. Why not come to Him now? All your uncleanness you think of yourself, all the life that you lived, you feel so shamed about, the Lord will cleanse it. The Lord will cleanse it. The Lord will cleanse it. What a wonderful Savior we have. You feel yourself unworthy? It's still self-pity because you think yourself, I'm so bad, you know, I've done this, I've done that, I can't come, I'm so unworthy to come to the Savior. But the Lord bids you to come. The Lord calls you to come. He wants you to come. He commands you to come. And yet, you're giving excuses. It's still the same. If you don't want to come, you're still holding back to the Savior. The Lord is willing to make you clean and to make you sons and daughters of the living God. The Bible says, how blessed we are, beloved, that we may be called children of God. It's this great offer, this great invitation that you are saying to the king, well, you may not say I'm busy, but I'm not worthy to come, O king. The king is asking you to come to his jamuan, to his big feast. And here you say, no, I don't feel worthy. You're giving all sorts of excuses. The Lord does not like excuses. Because he made you And he wants you to come. And you must come. You must come as you are. Remember I said, all this thing must go. All your pretense, all your cleverness, all your dark history. I'm not asking you to confess to people. I'm asking you to confess to the Lord in the quietness of your room, in the quietness of your car, in your quietness of your walk by yourself. Confess to the Lord as you are. And there is this great comfort and willingness of the Savior to say, be clean. I will be willing. Be cleansed. And the Lord said, go your way. And as you have believed, let it be done for you. Your sins will be forgiven when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come as you are. Come not based on anything of you anymore. Because you have lived your life, your natural life, you have lived as a natural. What is your natural being? Is that me, myself, maybe others, maybe those I love, maybe whatever my achievement, but it's still you, you, and you. And you will, in Christ, when you come to Christ, it's no more of you, me, we, but it's Christ, Christ, and Christ. When your eyes are open, you will know that. The Lord bids you come, because you will be numbered among the thousands, the innumerable multitude that will be in heaven worshipping the Lord. Do you think they'll be occupied for all the petty things and all the things in your life that you've been so concerned about that is keeping you from coming to hear the means of grace, the preaching of the word, and keeping you from coming to the Savior? Do you think all those things are no more? They counted but dung, as the Apostle Paul said. Those things no more. For me to live is Christ. Believers, is it for you to live is Christ? Or is it for you, for me to live is Christ and plus, 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 dot, 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 instead of just a full stop? But for others who do not know the Lord Jesus, you cannot say that. But the day you have gone through that door, the day that you are bowed down to the cross of Calvary, it will be the day you will begin to say, for me to live is Christ. And whether long or short, when my death comes, it is gain. But currently, it is time to live. I want to live for Christ. I don't care how infirm I may be. If I'm on my bed and people come to me, I'll tell him of Christ. If I go here and there with one leg, I still tell people of Christ. If I'm discouraged, I will come to Christ. Hopefully, his word will restore me. I will repent of sin, and I will still want to be used by Christ. And if my neighbor wants to know more about the Lord Jesus, I will tell him. And I will try to invite him first, if he wants to come. And I shall be, whether I eat or drink, I want to glorify Christ. Only such who come in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ will truly know the goodness of him in our heart. Not only there is in connection, there may be physical good that happens to us. Don't dispel that. Because when you trust in the Lord Jesus, when you have the joy of the Lord, it affects you. It affects your body. It affects your, you know, affects how you look at things. Things that used to worry you every day. I don't have enough money. I can't do this. I can't do that. They are no more of a certain claim upon you. They go down to such a low rung. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord. No wonder you don't have peace with the Lord. No wonder you have no peace in your heart. You worry about this, you worry about that. But you never worry about life without Christ. And there lies the answer to your question. You who love the world so much, you will never have peace. Never. And you who want to have one foot in the world and one foot, you think, in salvation, you want to enjoy both worlds. Be careful. Be careful. The Jews also thought that too. Gentiles think that, but Jews also they thought they were so secure by their way of salvation, and that they could indulge in their own sins. Are you unclean? You are. Are you unworthy? You are. Are you very unworthy? Are you very unclean? You know the answer. Come to the foot of the cross. Let the blood of Christ wash you clean, and you will have peace. And this leper could worship God again. Unloved, uncared for, now have a joy that you who have so much money, you who enjoy so much in the world, have no taste of it. This Jew who was cleansed from leprosy and had cleansing in his heart had this inner joy in him. And look at this centurion. His name is renowned. And look at him. He will be seated together with a great company of Jews and Gentiles forever worshipping the Lord. Is this not what we want? Do you still clamor up the things of the world? Do you still love the world or things of the world, the pride of life? Do you still love those? For if you love those, there is no love of Father in you, the Bible says. And if you love mammon and man, you cannot love both together. You will hate one or love the other. Come to Christ and live for Him alone. What a compassionate and worthy Savior He is.